Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. This program is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 14 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Nepali, and Mandarin Chinese are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands of people are logging on to the site each month to receive spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. Here's a testimony from a listener in the country of Uganda, East Africa, who listens to the English program that you're hearing right now. He writes, "I am so thankful to God for the wonderful opportunity He has given me to sit down and extend my sincere thanks to you. As our dear radio presenter, I thank you for the good work you are doing in me and my fellow Ugandans. Please keep it up, because your messages have led to the conversion of many souls and have been a blessing to many families. May the good Lord bless you so much." Praise God, my friend, for the life-changing power of God's Word that this man testifies of from the country of Uganda. Now I invite you to stay tuned for my teaching, Who Do You Say That I Am? Many years ago, a man by the name of John Sachs wrote a poem titled The Blind Men and the Elephant. And the first stanza of that poem goes like this. "It was six men of Indostan, to learning much inclined, who went to see an elephant, though all of them were blind, that each by observation might satisfy his mind." And then the poem goes on to tell how each of the six men touched a different part of that elephant. One of them touched the side, and he concluded that the elephant is like a wall. Another one touched the tusk of the elephant, and he stated that the elephant surely must be like a spear. The other four men all touched other parts of the elephant, and they made similar conclusions based on what they felt. And then the poem ends with this stanza. "And so these men of Indostan disputed loud and long, each in his own opinion, exceeding stiff and strong, though each was partly in the right, and all were in the wrong." Now maybe you're wondering why I introduced today's teaching with excerpts from this poem. I did it because there's often a difference between our perception and reality. Each of the six men who touched the elephant had a perception of what he must look like. But you know, the reality was quite different. And if you're like me, you've had similar experiences where your perceptions turned out to be faulty, and that led you to wrong conclusions. Our text for today is Luke chapter 9 and verses 7 to 22. Now that's a fairly long portion of scripture we're looking at, but as we unpack it, I believe you'll understand why I selected these verses as a group. There's a question that's asked three times in this text, and I believe it reveals the central idea or concept that Luke is wanting us to grasp. So try to pick out the question as I read the text. Luke chapter 9, verses 7 to 22. Listen carefully now as I read. "Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed, because it was said by some that John had risen from the dead, and by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the old prophets had risen again. Herod said, 'John I have beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things?' So he sought to see him. And the apostles, when they had returned, told him all that they had done. Then he took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. But when the multitudes knew it, they followed him. And he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who had need of healing. When the day began to wear away, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the multitude away, that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here." But he said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all these people." For there were about 5,000 men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so, and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and 12 baskets of leftover fragments were taken up by them. And it happened, as he was alone praying, that his disciples joined him, and he asked them, saying, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" So they answered and said, "John the Baptist. But some say Elijah, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered and said, "The Christ of God." And he strictly warned them and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day." The singular responses of the 3 main groups of people in this text provide the answer to the question, "Who do men say that I am?" The first response is a sinner's perplexity. Our text opens with Herod the Tetrarch. What do we know about him? Well, God saw fit to include him in the text, so I believe we need to know a little bit about him. And he typifies the perplexity of sinners in answering the question, who Jesus is. Herod Antipas was his real name, and he was the son of Herod the Great. Many Bible readers know about Herod the Great because after the visit of the Magi from the east, Herod the Great was the one who sent soldiers to Bethlehem to kill all the baby boys 2 years of age and under. He did not want a king of the Jews to be a threat to his reign. Herod the Great was known as a cruel and ruthless tyrant. He even had several of his wives and sons put to death for fear they were going to usurp his throne. On the positive side, Herod the Great magnificently reconstructed the great temple in Jerusalem. So Herod Antipas, the man in our text, was the son of a mass murderer. So it's not surprising he turned out the way he did. We sometimes say, like father, like son. Now you may recall, according to this text, that this was the man who beheaded John the Baptist. John confronted him for divorcing his wife and entering into an adulterous relationship with Herodias, who was the wife of his half-brother Philip. Herod Antipas was the tetrarch, which means the ruler of a fourth part of Galilee and Perea. And it was this Herod, Herod Antipas, who was Jesus' earthly ruler and the one to whom Pilate sent Jesus during the course of his trial. Now, notice what verse 7 says about Herod. First, he was hearing all these things that Jesus was doing in the region. And what was his response? It says he was perplexed. And I checked several Bible translations, and they all use this same word, perplexed. And the New American Standard added the adjective greatly. Herod was greatly perplexed. He was completely at a loss to understand what was happening. Today, we would describe him as clueless. He certainly had his sympathizers and informers among the people. He heard the rumors, "John the Baptist has come back from the dead," or "Elijah has reappeared," or "one of the old prophets has risen from the dead." And his response was, "John the Baptist I beheaded, but who is this I keep hearing about?" In his curiosity, Herod had an ongoing desire to see Jesus. Really? Okay. Herod was king. If he really wanted to see Jesus, what was stopping him from doing it? It was certainly within his power. It seems to me there was a mixture of curiosity and animosity that motivated Herod. I believe Herod was a cynic. As long as he only wanted to see Jesus, he really didn't need to make it happen. You know, there are many people like that today. And as far as we know, the only time he met Jesus was just before Jesus was crucified, and there, Herod's cynicism is quite obvious. So think about it. Herod's perplexity about who Jesus is typical of the unconverted. Have you ever asked an unbeliever what they think about Jesus, who he is? Some responses you'll get might be these. Well, he's a baby in a manger. He's a prophet. He was a good man. He was a wise teacher. Or maybe someone would say, he's just a figment of your imagination, a crutch for the weak. And others will say, well, I don't know. Like Herod, they're perplexed. They're confused about who Jesus is. So while some of the answers contain partial truth, none of them gets to the heart of the issue. You see, friend, as long as you and I can define Jesus according to our terms, he's non-threatening. What I mean by that is, he has no claim on our lives. Some people may want to be respectful of Jesus, but they certainly don't want to worship him, because worship implies superiority and the need for submission or obedience. And that would mean lifestyle changes that many people are unwilling to make. So because they're perplexed about Jesus' identity, they don't understand that knowing him personally provides both the desire and the power to live according to his word. Now, what about you? What's your response to the question? Who do you say that I am? Are you perplexed, confused, or unsure about who Jesus is? My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. If you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, Who Do You Say That I Am? The quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. That's Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, Who Do You Say That I Am? I'd be happy to send one to you. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. That's Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And request your free copy of this teaching, Who Do You Say That I Am? And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Nepali, and Mandarin Chinese are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue this study, Who Do You Say That I Am? And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.